Ahead and call our meeting to order. This is the February meeting of the SCAC Health and Nutrition Committee. It's so nice to see so many people here and to see all the names of the folks that have called in. Welcome to everyone. I would also like to welcome our newest member, Ann Mudry. Am I saying your last name correctly, Ann?
Mudry.
Mudry. Close enough. I'll remember now. So Ann Mudry is our newest member of the Health and Nutrition Committee, and we are so glad to have you as part of our group.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's go ahead and move to the Pledge of Allegiance. Margaret, I don't know if you noticed, but we have you down for leading the pledge today.
Yes, I do. I had to find the real one. I guess they modified it or whatever. I did find Google. I did say. You want me to do it now?
That would be wonderful. And we have the flag on our Zoom. Thank you, Carissa. And we can stand if we're able and say the pledge with Margaret leading us.
Thank you so much. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank God for America.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you so much, Margaret, for leading us today in the pledge.
Thank you for leading us.
So, Patty, I know that you are on the road. Are you able to conduct the roll call, or would you like Carissa to do that today?
I would love for Carissa to do that, please.
Okay, no problem. Laval Brewer. Linda Cardoza.
Present.
Meredith Chalemi.
Present.
Sherry Geyer.
Present.
Margaret Wong.
Here.
Elizabeth Jimenez, Phil Mandeville, Patty Mouton,
present,
Ann Mudry,
here,
Phil Orland,
here, hi Bonnie,
Barbara Sloat,
present,
and Dave Sullivan,
here,
and we do have quorum.
Carissa, I think you left me off.
Oh. Let me see here, Crystal Miles. Yes, I'll have you present. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carissa. Mm-hmm. So I would like to introduce any guests that we have. Do we have guests today?
Well, I'm not really a guest, but I'm a guest at your meeting right now. I'm kind of keeping track on all the committee meetings just so I can kind of keep abreast of what's going on. So.
Well, we're so glad
consider
to
me
have
the fly on the wall.
Thank you. And you're welcome to participate, but we're glad to have you here. And then I also see that Nicolette is a guest. So we would like to welcome you, Nicolette. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for the invite.
Absolutely. And Philip, thank you. Glad that you were able to get on. Nice to see you. Do we have any other guests? Bonnie, I would like to introduce you. Bonnie Hayden is from the American Heart Association, and she is going to be one of our wonderful speakers. So we're so glad to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Chris, I don't believe that we have Frank here for the Office on Aging update, do we?
I don't see him. I did send that link. I'll send it to him in an email as well, just in case he didn't receive
okay.
it.
So I'm going to move forward with our agenda. Patty, is this a good time for you to give us a short presentation on the Alzheimer's OC COVID plus memory care unit at Fairview?
Sure, I'm happy to do that. Some of you may be aware that Alzheimer's Orange County was approached by the Orange County Healthcare Agency to see if we could help out and provide residential care for people who are COVID positive and perhaps needed to be removed from a congregate living situation or to be discharged from the hospital because they no longer required acute care. So on December 28th, we opened a 25-bed unit on the campus of Fairview Developmental Center in Costa Mesa in Building 29. We have staffed it with a little bit of an elevated staffing pattern. There are LVNs on every shift on the floor. There are registered nurses as the care managers, and the caregivers are either CNAs with dementia training or seasoned caregivers who have had extra dementia training from us. Right now we're about half full. We could use to fill more beds to make everything go smoothly and worthwhile. The beds are in dormitory style. We have three dormitories, but each resident has their own private space. And it's equipped with brand new TVs, and we've had wonderful participation from the community. We've had adorable, fluffy, soft blankets delivered that residents can take home. We have a really wonderful coffee bar, and thank you again, Meredith, for being so dear and generous. Where people can go and make their own Keurig coffee or hot chocolate or tea. That's been a real hit with many of the residents. And it's a really wonderful, safe place for people to have expert care, great infection control, and they can stay with us until their COVID status resolves and then go back either to the board and care where they had lived previously, go back home, and hopefully the home situation then allows for somebody to be able to care for them. It has just worked out beautifully. We've had people admitted from home where maybe mom was taking care of dad who has a little dementia. They both get COVID, but mom gets really sick. Dad has mild COVID symptoms, but there was nobody to take care of him while mom went to the hospital. So we've had admissions like that. We had one board and care owner who had 3 6-bed homes, and almost everyone in his homes was COVID positive, as were his caregivers. So we ended up being many.
Patty, you just went out, so we're not able to hear you clearly right now. It's still very distant right now.
I'll be some, so you could move on with the agenda and I'll finish up in a few minutes.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Patty, for your flexibility.
Okay. Sure. Sorry.
I see that we had a couple of more people join us. Lavelle, it's nice to see you. Thanks for coming. And Susan, it's nice to see you as well. Okay, so our next presentation is going to be Bonnie Harris Hayden. We welcomed her as a guest, and she is one of our presenters today. We're so grateful for her to be here. And thank you, Phil Orland, for introducing us to Bonnie. She is from the American Heart Association Community Programs, and she's going to share what the American Heart Association is up to so that we have the information to disseminate to our community. So thank you so much, Bonnie. And Carissa is able to give you controls if you'd like to show, or she can put up the documents that you shared with us for you.
Oh, that would be so great. Yeah. Hi, Carissa. Thank you so much for your help. I appreciate sure. it.
Just yeah, let me know what flyer you want up, and then I'll put it up for you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me, everyone. And thank you for connecting me with everybody, Phil. And it's been so nice working with you, Meredith, to get to where we are today. My name is Bonnie Harris Hayden, and I'm an estate attorney. And I do charitable estate planning for the American Heart Association. And so I've been doing that for the Heart Association for the last 4.5 years now. And I'm in Los Angeles. I don't know where you are. I think you're probably mostly in Orange County.
You're in Orange County.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I met Phil at our Heart Walk that we have every year in Anaheim, except we didn't have it this past year, as you can imagine. We tried to do something virtually. You know, the whole world has changed since the last time I got to see you in person, Phil. So So with that said, some of the focus of our work has changed and grown and intensified. And I'm really happy to tell you kind of what we're up to and also give you some good information and tips about how to stay healthy and take care of yourselves during these times. And so Carissa, if you could please, if you could please put up the flyer that's the heart attack symptoms in men versus women, that would be great. As you can imagine, we do a lot of research on heart disease, quite a lot. The American Heart Association is really primarily a research organization. And we've been around for almost 100 years now. We were established in 1924 by 6 cardiologists. And by the way, if you have any questions, you know, please jump in and let me know. And I'm going to go through some things kind of briefly, but if there's more information that you would like, more details on certain research or studies or initiatives, you're welcome to contact me and I can get you more details.
And Bonnie, I think that if it's okay with you, if people have questions and they can put them in the chat, then the end, I can kind of filter through them and ask them to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be great. So we've been around almost 100 years and kind of what we're up to this very moment is February is Heart Month. I don't know if you know that, but February is Heart Month. And we have a really big initiative that we've had for the last, that we've had for the last 15 years now called Go Red for Women. And that is because heart disease is the number one killer of women in the United States and in the entire world. It causes 1 in 3 deaths annually, and 90% of us have one or more risk factors for heart disease at some point in our lives. But the good news is that 80% of cardiovascular disease is actually preventable. And that is through, you know, proper monitoring of your blood pressure, diet, exercise, all that good stuff. So as you can see, there are some different symptoms that women have than men do when it comes to heart disease and heart attack. And I think that for a really long time, people just kind of imagine that men of a certain age would kind of feel like an elephant is sitting on their chest and that's who has heart attacks and that's how they feel. And so since it is the number one killer of women, more than all of the cancers combined, believe it or not, we wanted to do education. We do a lot of education in the world, the Heart Association, and we wanted to educate women and the people who love them about how heart disease shows up in women so that they can get better treatment. And so as you can see, women and men share some of the same symptoms of a heart attack, like nausea, vomiting, jaw pain, chest pain. But women might also have fainting or indigestion or extreme fatigue. And I mean, there could be many reasons why someone feels faint or has indigestion or extreme fatigue, but it's something to keep in mind that it shows up a little differently in women. There was a woman who was in her 40s who was at a luncheon that we had, and she was talking about it. And she was saying, I go swimming every single day and my shoulder really started to hurt me. And I just figured I pulled a muscle. I wasn't even really thinking about it. And that pain actually never went away. In fact, it got worse and it started feeling kind of strange to her. And she because she had gone to this luncheon from the Heart Association, she had a magnet on her refrigerator from that luncheon that said the heart disease symptoms in women. And she read that magnet and thought, am I having a heart attack? And she was having a heart attack. And so because of that magnet, she ended up getting help and going to the hospital and having a stent put in her heart. And thank goodness. So I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying that to please be aware. Just be aware of what's going on in your body and try not to dismiss things that are going on. If you could also please put up the symptoms for stroke in men versus women, that would be great. A lot of people don't know that the American Heart Association is also the American Stroke Association. We're both. And we do a whole bunch of research on stroke as well. So the American Heart Association does the most research on heart and stroke of anybody in the entire world, except for the federal government. And so we really do our best to try and well, I'll tell you all the different things that we do about it. The Heart Association does the protocols for the hospitals, and we give them the protocols about how to triage heart disease and stroke patients that come into the hospital so that they can get treated as quickly and efficiently as possible. Because as you can imagine, time is of the essence when someone is going through a heart attack or a stroke. We also try and spread all of this education around again, so people can see, wow, women have some different symptoms than men do. They may have some additional symptoms when it comes to stroke. Believe it or not, twice as many women will die of stroke this year than of breast cancer. And stroke actually impacts more women than men. So because of that, we really encourage people, especially in February, to wear red. To be in solidarity. I am not wearing red because I have red hair. So I'm wearing red every day. But as you can see, the lady in our chart is wearing red. And so the acronym that we kind of use for stroke is FAST. It stands for face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and T. The T is for time. Time is of the essence. So if you see someone experiencing these symptoms, call 911, please do, because the quicker they can get to the hospital and triage, the better, because then they can get medication that will actually stop the stroke from happening and could reverse the stroke if it's caused by a small occlusion in their brain. Some of the research that we've been doing in the last few years has been, what if a stroke is caused by a large occlusion, a large clot? We really didn't have anything that could help people at that time, because the beta blocker medication could not dissolve a large clot. And so now we do have a wonderful, we do have a wonderful procedure now where it looks kind of like a little, it's kind of crazy, but it looks like this little piece of chicken wire, and they can stick it right in the artery, and it attaches to the clot, and it pulls out the clot in one piece. And this just started back in about 2016. And I met one of the people who had this first done. It was a college student, believe it or not, this young woman who was about 19 years old, and she was talking to her roommate, and all of a sudden her face just started drooping. She was slurring. Her roommate was kind of looking at her like, what is happening to you? And immediately called 911, and they got her, they took her, and they did this procedure with this little piece. I'm not a doctor, I'm a lawyer, so I don't know what it's called. I call it chicken wire, but I'm sure it's called something much better than that. And they put it in and they pulled it out. And I mean, I met her, she's fine. You would never know that anything happened to her. It's really incredible what they can do now with these things. And so we have been doing that new procedure to remove large occlusions quite a lot over the past few years. And it's been really, really successful. And so getting back to this, as you can see, women also have this kind of general weakness, disorientation, confusion, fatigue, nausea or vomiting that men don't necessarily have. And so again, just, you know, pay attention to your body. I know somebody who, she felt that. She was throwing up. She felt really bad. She had just seen her doctor 2 weeks before. She called her doctor and said, I don't feel well. I know I just saw you, but I don't feel well. And her doctor said, no, you're fine. It's okay. I just saw you. Well, she ended up having a stroke in her house that night. And because she had it in the middle of the night, no one was there to help her to get to the hospital. And so she has long lasting and permanent side effects from that stroke. So, and the reason this younger woman that I just told you about had the stroke was because she had a heart condition when she was younger, and her heart threw off a clot that ended up going to her brain. So that's why such a young person had a stroke. So So just please be aware of your body and don't second guess yourself, because if something's going on, go get it checked out. The worst that could happen is the doctor says, no, you're actually okay. Maybe you're dealing with some anxiety and send you home, right? So better to be safe than sorry. So that's a little bit about kind of heart disease and stroke and sort of why we're doing this education and this Go Red for Women movement, especially, and getting kind of deeper into our work. If you could pull up, I call it the rainbow wheel. It says Driving Community Impact, the flyer that says Driving Community Impact. You can kind of see this overview of what we do, and our focus has changed a little bit. There you go. As you can imagine, because of the pandemic. I think almost every organization, especially in the healthcare field, could say that these days. You can see we have our research and quality of care, and we have Go Red for Women as one of the pieces of the pie. But when it comes to COVID and COVID research, we've certainly added that in. We funded $2.4 million worth of research right at the beginning of the pandemic to kind of fast track and see what we could do to help contribute to getting this pandemic addressed. And so some of the things that we're doing with regards to COVID is the research that we're doing is, I don't know if you've heard, but people who have COVID, some of them are throwing off a lot of clots in their body. It's causing quite a lot of clotting. And so we are doing research about why that's happening and how to address that. We're also doing research to kind of see what the effects are. Some people are being left with long-lasting effects of brain fog, of weakened hearts, of weakened cardiovascular systems from this disease. And so we're trying to do research and kind of figure out why this is happening. And so one of the things that we're also doing in terms of educating the community is sort of what I was just talking about. We have this initiative called Don't Die of Doubt. Because when the pandemic first happened last year, for several months, people who were not feeling well for whatever reason were not going to the emergency room or to the doctor. They were not getting checked out because they were so afraid of catching COVID if they did go. And so there were people who were having heart attacks and strokes that were not going to the emergency room and getting treated. And so the Heart Association is telling people, please go to the emergency room if you don't feel well. They know how to make sure you don't get sick and that you don't get COVID. Please go get checked out. We're also doing community response. So we have some initiatives where now people can support a clinic. It's called Adopt a Clinic, and people can actually help the clinic get the PPE that they need and get more supplies that they need so that they can serve more people in the community now than they could before. And some of that also goes to helping people get educated about how to do their teledoc appointments, because now so many doctor's appointments are via computer these days. And that's kind of the wave of I won't even say the future, it's the wave of now, and it's not going anywhere. A lot of the appointments are now going to be teledocs, but not everyone knows how to use their computer in order to have a teledoc appointment. And so we're trying to also help the clinics help their constituents and their patients be able to do that. So that's kind of what we're doing for COVID at the moment. We had Dr. Fauci speak for us at our heart, our cardiovascular disease kind of, we have this summit every November, and that was really amazing. That was incredible. And this month is the International Stroke Conference. And so thousands of researchers from all over the world get together to discuss the cutting edge research in the field of stroke. We had it at the Los Angeles Convention Center last February. As you can imagine, it's all happening online this year, which is fine. And some of the interesting things that are going on are places like USC, for example, are now having mobile units where they can actually drive throughout the city and pick somebody up who's having a stroke and start triaging them right away. Before they even get to the hospital, the patient is being treated in the mobile unit. And so there's some really incredible things that are happening so that we can, again, kind of get to people as soon as possible. Some of the other things that we do at the Heart Association, so in addition to our research and kind of some of the education that I've alluded to, is we do advocacy. So kind of in this community action piece of the pie, we do a lot of lobbying and legislation to how does community association control blood pressure? Community associate, I'm not quite understanding that question. The Heart Association does give guidelines as to what the healthy blood pressure should be, which actually we lowered it a couple of years ago. and I think that the point of it is to actually try and get people to really monitor their blood pressure and think about their blood pressure before it gets to a point where you are on medication for blood
pressure. Honey, I see it now. See, it says blood pressure, and then it says controlling through clinics and community relationships.
So we do this thing. We do this thing called check change control. And that, if you pop onto our website, so a lot of these things you can kind of dig into further on our website, which is heart.org, heart.org. And we have these, this check change control where people can actually sign up, and you can do it through a company or you can do it through just you as an individual, and you can kind of put in your numbers. And you know your numbers, and it'll pop out. It'll pop out different things that you can do. It'll tell you great exercises that you can do. It will tell you, it'll direct you to recipes that you can have, that you can make that are heart healthy. And just so you know, we have the heart check symbol as well. So when you go to the market and you see foods with little heart with a check on it, the American Heart Association has approved all those foods as being especially heart healthy. And on our website, there's a list of all of those heart check foods as well that you can check. And so all of these different things to be able to go monitor your blood pressure, because that's really something that's so important. So you pop in your numbers and it'll give you all these good tips, but then you're also kind of in this database anonymously where we can gather data. And we have the same thing for COVID as well, where we have these databases that we're having now where we can gather all this data and we can use it to do research so that we can figure out what is going on. Why are people's blood pressure high? Is it obesity? Is it diabetes? Is it side effects from chemotherapy that people are having to have? What is going on here so that we can help do research to figure out how to mitigate those things and also prevent? We want to prevent people from ever having high blood pressure, not just, oh, now you have to take medication because you have it. We don't even want people to get that far. So that's part of our community action, is participating in these now online things that are available so that we can track numbers and we can get data and do research. And so when it comes kind of back to this education that we do, that's part of it too, is educating. We want to educate people about how they can prevent high blood pressure, how they can prevent obesity. And so we used to go into schools and we used to tell kids how to do this. And we're not really going into schools anymore, but some of the things that we are doing in terms of community action are we do have an initiative called Hard Hats with Heart. And so that is sort of education combined with advocacy, where we're working with construction companies, developers who have control kind of over what their land is used for. And we are having them put more walkways in their land. We're having them put bike paths in. We're having them put drinking fountains everywhere. And we're having them also take care of their workers and kind of notice their workers, because a lot of people in the construction industry don't have the best health. They smoke, they eat fast food, and so we're trying to kind of take some community action that way to sort of make the community a healthier place. In addition, we're trying to get legislation passed, and we have, to prevent kids from being able to get their hands on flavored tobacco and vaping, which has been huge, huge problem in California. And so we do a lot of that. And then some of the really great things that we do when it comes to some education and some community action is we have a whole program, which is virtual, called
STEM, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. And that is to teach young women all over our community in Los Angeles about science, technology, engineering, and math, because they are disproportionately kind of underrepresented in those fields. And what are we going to do if we don't have doctors? We need these women to become doctors and researchers and scientists so that we can keep carrying on our good work. And so these girls that participate in this, they're in junior high and high school. They get this curriculum, they get these different kind of research assignments. Some of them involve them asking their families different questions and about their genetics and about their history and stuff. And they get to do these projects, and they're from all different parts of the city, all different schools, and they do it online. And then they get to talk to each other about how their assignments are going. They would have never met probably otherwise, and share how all this good stuff is happening and what they're learning, and gets them so inspired. They get paired up with mentors. We have cardiologists, we have engineers, we have lawyers, we have all different kinds of women in different fields that mentor these girls to encourage them to have these careers. And so that's kind of some of our education and community action that is actually happening virtually, which is really, really nice. And so then also I address the blood pressure, and just we do a lot of partnering, a lot of partnerships with the American Diabetes Association, with the American Cancer Society, because we know that these things affect people's hearts and people's cardiovascular systems. And so we do a lot of partnering. And then we also partner with every hospital you could think of and lots of clinics to make sure that they are, again, kind of getting those protocols and using those guidelines in order to quickly triage people and treat them. And so when we kind of go to healthy living, the healthy living piece of the pie, which is, you know, sort of where we hope people are so that they don't ever have to deal with any of this. We realized, especially in the last year or so, that we've always been looking at health equity, but in the last year has really come to the forefront for us of, you know, making sure that people have access to healthy food. There are food deserts in Southern California. There are food deserts. There are people who don't have good access to fresh produce, fresh fruits and vegetables. And so we partner with all different places in the community to help make sure that happens. So for example, we have a few teaching gardens in Orange County, and we have 60 teaching gardens in Los Angeles. And so basically we team up with schools that are kind of in these food deserts where there's just not as much fresh produce available. And we give them a curriculum, and the teachers have this curriculum, and they teach the kids how to grow the gardens, and they grow these really beautiful gardens in school, and they harvest the food, and the kids are so proud. I've been to them. I went to one in Orange County. It was fantastic. They're so proud. And then they learn about biology and chemistry. They learn about recipes and how to cook the food, and they bring those recipes home to their parents. And so then the whole family gets to eat healthy. And so that's kind of how we're trying to prevent some of this heart disease from happening. And some of the food that they grow is actually taken to farmers markets and sold at the farmers markets in the community. And then we team up with police, with the police department, to make sure that people can get safely to the produce that they really need to buy. Because in some places it's harder than it seems. And so that is kind of the overview of sort of, in a way, it kind of hooks into healthy living and to equity of, we want everyone to have access to healthy fruits and vegetables and be able to prevent heart disease and stroke. And we want people to be able to take bike rides and walk safely in their communities so that they can get some exercise at least 25 minutes a day, even if it's 5 minutes at a time. We want that for folks. We also want people to get the same level of medical treatment and care in the hospital or clinic that they go to in their community, no matter where their community is. And so so that's kind of what we're trying to do. And as you can imagine, when people don't have access to healthy food and to safe ways of getting that healthy food, it does create a lot of stress. And the last thing we need for our hearts and our cardiovascular systems to be to stop us from being healthy is stress. That's the worst, right? So anything that the Heart Association can do to help people who might be struggling have a little less stress is great. And so when it comes to mental health, of course, we always recommend taking some deep breaths and meditating. And I have to say, I find YouTube to be an amazing resource for that. I mean, just pop on there and you can find a workout, a meditation, you for any topic, any level, anything. It has everything. So we do that for our employees. We have days where we do move more, we have yoga, we have all kinds of stuff. And I think it's, you know, it's really important. So that's kind of our rainbow, I call it the rainbow wheel of goodness. It's kind of the work that we're doing right now. And we, in addition, we still teach CPR to millions and millions of people every year, which is where a huge chunk of our education work comes in. And of course, we've had to modify how we do that because of COVID. So now we have new guidelines and ways to teach CPR because of COVID. And so that's been an interesting thing to deal with as well. And so that's, let me see, that's kind of our work. I wanted to see 13% of Orange County teens vape, yes. So I think with regards to the arm weakness, it says regarding arm weakness, could it be either arm or primarily the right arm nearest to the heart? I do think it could be either arm, but it makes sense that it would be the right arm. Rectal people say, oh, when my grandfather had a heart attack, his right arm really, really hurt. And so I would imagine that that makes a lot of sense. I hope I answered the question kind of about how do we control blood pressure? I mean, community action. We just want you to take action to control your blood pressure and go into it. Because, you know, the more you're on top of it and the more you're monitoring it, the better. I know a lot of people these days who have got those at-home blood pressure monitors too, because they don't want to have to leave their house to go monitor that because of COVID these days. And I think you can probably order them off of Amazon. I think there's all different ways that you can do it. Just get it delivered right to your house. So that's kind of, some more of sort of what we're doing with our work. And I mean, really at the Heart Association, there are so many different things that we do. People who say, I want to help with homelessness. I want to help with, I mean, just about anything. We can create something for you to help with if you would like to help. And we do so much more work than people kind of even know, especially in a big place like we have, where we have Orange County, we have Southern California. It's a pretty robust market. As you can imagine, we have a lot of people who are excited to help us, even though most of the places where we used to meet and gather with people are now online. So kind of getting back to a little bit of just what I do for the Heart Association. So in addition to kind of trying to educate you a little bit on some of the things that we do, and like I said, I can get you more details about research and studies and things like that. I help people who want to help the Heart Association in sort of more creative ways. I've charitable estate planning. The people I work with want to give through their estates. Maybe sometimes they need a tax write-off for their gift. Maybe they want a stream of income to come back to them. They might have some things that they don't want to deal with anymore, like real estate or stocks that they are worried to sell because they're going to get a ton of capital gains taxes on those. And so I help people kind of structure these interesting sorts of gifts. And I work with other estate attorneys and CPAs and financial advisors to make sure that when someone wants to give this away, they get the most benefit possible, just like we do. And so I kind of create these win-win situations. And so I do a lot of education in the community about estate planning, doing your will, doing your trust, and also doing charitable estate planning as well. So the new guideline for normal BP is 120 over 80, I believe. And it used to be 10 higher. And what we were finding was that once someone got to that 130, they were already on their way to taking medication. And so it wasn't that there was anything necessarily dire that was going to happen at the 130, but we wanted to kind of have people get on top of it sooner so they didn't have to get onto medication, right? Because who wants to take medication for anything? I mean, really. So it's now down to 120. And that happened a couple years ago, like about 2 years ago that happened. So that's what I do at the Heart Association. And I also help people. You can kind of, Carissa, if you want to pop up my contact information, I help people if you want to update your estate plan, you want it evaluated and looked at. I just work for the Heart Association. I'm not soliciting anything. I review people's estate plans and get them ready to see attorneys. I can refer you to estate attorneys and financial advisors and CPAs if you want to. And as you can imagine, a lot of people are thinking about this these days. And so, so we are just, you know, we just act as a resource to the community. If you, you know, ever want to pick my brain about any estate planning stuff, just you can call me. It's totally free. I'm happy to give you any kind of advice and get you ready. And also, if you have any groups that you're involved, like I just did a presentation to my mom's group, the Culver City Women's Club. Nice. About this. So, I mean, if you're in any other groups or senior centers, I work a lot with the Oakland Senior Center and the Emeryville Senior Center up north and the Englewood Senior Center down here. To do education in the community about what we do and also about estate planning, because I'm really passionate about that. I really want people to just feel secure and prepare to take care of their families and stuff. None of it involves any gifts to the American Heart Association. None of that is required. It's really just a service to the community. And so you can see on the screen, this is my contact information. And one of the cool things too is, just so you know, this freewill.com/heart, this website there, you can actually pop on there and make a will for free. So if you don't have a will, or maybe your kids don't, or your grandkids don't, you can pop on there, freewill.com/heart, and you can make a will. It's, you gotta sign it and everything, but I mean, it's valid in California, and you don't have to make a gift to the Heart Association or anything. Make it however you want. And it's confidential. So your information is not going to go anywhere once you do that. That's it. So it's just a nice, free service that we give to the community. And that's how you can get a hold of me. So you're welcome to contact me anytime. When it comes to, is there an Orange County chapter? So the Heart Association doesn't have chapters anymore. We are split into 5 different regions of the country, called affiliates, and we have an office in Orange County. Yes, that we do. We have an office in Orange County, and we usually have a lot of really cool events and stuff happening in Orange County. And now we have events that are happening online. And if you're interested in kind of participating, especially in some of the stuff that's going on for Heart Month, let me know and I can get you invited, and you'll pop on to your computer like you're doing now and zoom into it and learn some good stuff. So, I mean, I'm happy to help you with that. And and then just so you see, Paul Dilley White Legacy Society is our legacy society. So I help the folks that end up doing those estate gifts, and they become part of our Paul Dilley White Legacy Society, who he was one of our founders, and he was actually President Eisenhower's cardiologist. So that's why we named that after him. But are there any more questions? Oh my gosh, that's a good question. I don't know. What is the new cholesterol guideline? Who's asking me? Margaret.
Me.
Hello. I'm going to find that out for you.
Guideline. I just attended a UCI vision and related diabetes, and they said cholesterol, blood pressure, or blood sugar are all affecting people's blindness, vision loss.
Yes, for sure.
So I just wondered, they did not mention the blood pressure guidelines. So thank you for doing that. So
for sure. Yes.
And cholesterol is very, very important for stroke and vision loss and all that, They did talk about blood sugar. I mean, so that was very interesting because.
Well, and then there's like those two cholesterols, the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol. And so there's two different cholesterol measures. So let me do that. I will research that and I will send the answers to Meredith.
Yes, I'll share with the group.
Great question.
Thank you, Meredith.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Bonnie, we want to thank you. This has just been tremendous. Your information that you shared was so helpful.
Oh, good.
Just learning about the American Heart Association more, how you guys are impacting the social determinants of health and the education and all the opportunities for estate planning. I certainly learned a lot, and I think I can say thanks on behalf of our committee. And also, I just want to encourage everyone to spread the word. I will forward the documents that Bonnie shared
on
email, and then I would really encourage everyone to review them yourselves and also share them with family, friends, and your network so that we can have more people become familiar with all the opportunities.
Oh, yeah, please. And contact me anytime with questions. Yeah, Anne, what were you about to say?
We had a few diagrams at the beginning. Yeah.
Yes.
Can you send them to me or include it in your...
I'm going to send them to the committee.
All right.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, great.
I have a question for Dave Sullivan. Are heart and teeth connected in some way?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Definitely. And it'll relate to what I'm talking today about toothbrushing. The infections in the mouth can go to the heart and mm-hmm. cause serious problems with the valves, et cetera. So there is a definite connection.
Yeah,
I talked to when we hear from Dave.
Dave, are those your teeth behind you? That's amazing.
No.
Those are great.
You'll find out in a moment.
Oh, great.
So Bonnie, you are free to stay if you wish. If you need to go to another appointment, we certainly understand that too. But thank you so much for your presentation. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks,
thank
Phil.
You thank so you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
So now let's swing back to Patty, if it's a good time for you, Patty, to conclude your presentation on the sure. opportunity and for more
absolutely.
Residents.
Absolutely, and my personal assistant is guiding my every move right now while I'm home.
This awesome.
This is my puppy, Picasso, and he's still a little bit mischievous. And so if I put him down, he'll bark, and then you won't be able to hear anything.
Right.
So we have 25 beds. We're in building 29 on the campus of the Fairview Developmental Center. We typically take people who have had a recent COVID-19 test or diagnosis. Most of our residents have mild-ish COVID symptoms, but many of them have other comorbidities. So they can be very medically frail, but their COVID doesn't require care in a hospital. They stay with us from 10 to 28 days, depending upon the resolution of their symptoms. And then they go back to either the board and care where they lived before, they go back home. A couple of people have been on hospice, and so they've really gone home while they've been with us and have passed away while they're in our care. That was part of the plan. Our staff is specifically trained in COVID infection control, but also they've gotten a real booster of dementia care training because initially all of our residents had either mild cognitive impairment or a full-blown dementia. Since that time, we also have achieved what's called RAC status, Residential Alternative Care Site. So now we can take any adult and it is not required that they also have a dementia. So we're also trying to put people in dormitories where they're gonna be most comfortable. So if we have two or three people that do not have a dementia diagnosis, they're typically in one dormitory and then the folks that have dementia are in the other. But there's a lot of cross-pollination and a lot of really good socialization and activities. The intake coordinator is yours truly. So if anybody needs to ask a question about whether someone could be cared for in this facility, please let me know. There is no charge to anyone that we care for. Their family isn't charged. The person isn't charged. This is paid for through the collaboration with the county and state. And that has been a godsend for some people because the board and care owners, you know, they can't afford not to be paid their rent to keep their doors open. Families don't need the expense of having to pay for something twice. And if we're taking care of someone coming from their home, it's just a nice break for them to have that respite and know that this is all part of the COVID-19 relief funds. But we have to meet certain criteria and we're highly regulated by the state and county. So any questions? We got through a lot of information fast.
Yes.
We could use more people to populate it. So I believe I sent something out to the group last week. I can send something out again. I encourage you to share it. If you see things on Facebook, share it. You might think, oh, I'm not gonna need that. And then somebody you know gets diagnosed with COVID and they don't want to infect the other members of their family. This is a place where they could go, get great care, great food, and be in isolation and not infect or spread the disease unnecessarily.
Hey, Patty, this is Phil. I am always amazed when you present, you have something that nobody else has had are created. You are an amazing woman. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, yes, bravo. Thank you. I'm just part of a really visionary organization. And I have to say that this entire project was the vision of Jim Matter, our CEO. And I just got to kind of ride along on his on the smoke he created. But it's been a marvelous experience. And I really do feel like we've made a tremendous difference in people's lives.
What's the minimum age, Patty, for someone to qualify?
Right now it's 18. Initially it was age 60, right? They just have to be an adult. And you know, we have the propensity is older adults.
Right.
But if something came up and somebody was 25 and needed a place, we could accept them. And it actually might be fun for the other residents too.
Yes. Well, that's great because I can tell our service coordinators and affordable housing for family sites as well as senior sites that this is an option if someone needs to quarantine without their family.
Absolutely. And I'll send you a little fact sheet.
Wonderful.
In my opinion, Patty is so humble.
Yes.
The only one she can't persuade, apparently, is the little dog.
Do you have a link to the subject that you were talking about? A link.
To my subject or to our guest from American Heart?
Okay. All right.
Patty has information that she can send and we can make sure that you get it. And then I'm also going to send the information from the American Heart Association. So everyone will have access to all of the great resources.
All right. Thank you so much.
Is it all right, Meredith, if I send it to you and you can send it out to the committee?
Yes. Yes. I'll send it all in one email so that we have a full package of what we learned today to spread the word to our community.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty. So my now pleasure. We're going to find out what is up with the teeth behind Dave.
Okay.
And Dave, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Dave Sullivan is a committee member and also a dentist and is going to speak to us about the importance of oral health care.
Okay. Those are not my teeth. And you'll notice, particularly on the lower teeth, you see the crown of the tooth, which is the white. And then you see kind of yellow below, and that's severe periodontal disease. And that's what happens if you don't do two things, brush properly, but also floss. And now we'll see if I can show the pictures that I want to show here. First thing I'm gonna try to show is, let's see. Yeah, there it is, here. I should have coordinated with Marissa. Here it is. You see that there? That looks like a mountain. That is called the papilla, and that is between the two teeth, two adjacent teeth. Okay, now I don't want to discourage kissing, but we have to realize that there is not, I don't think any part of the body that is more filled with germs than the mouth. And the problem is that if food isn't removed properly, it just sits there, and it's a great way for bacteria to grow, and the bacteria destroy the attachment of the gums to the teeth, and then you get what's called gingival recession. And that is just a bad downhill process, which often ends up it used to be dentures, and people still get dentures, but now they've discovered, and I don't claim to know too much about this. When I was first in an internship in a VA hospital in Boston, they were working on implants, and it wasn't going too well. But the problem with implants is, I think they can be like $1,000 a piece. And, if you don't count the wisdom teeth, you've got 28 teeth. That's a lot of money. So the best thing is to do the necessary things to prevent getting gingivitis and periodontal disease. So what you need to do is remove the material before the bacteria has a chance to work on it and things become effective and the downhill spiral begins. I'll show you one thing, hopefully. And this is helpful during the day, because if you're at work or something, you can't floss, but this is extremely helpful. So let's see if I can do this. Gotta get my wife to help me.
No, Dave, if you turn off the background, we'll be able to see whatever you're holding a little better.
I'm pressing the camera and it's not, I've got you now. Okay. I better get her. She's just in the next room. Excuse me.
This reverse business isn't working, so I need your help.
All I know is I'm going to start brushing at least twice a day and flossing three times. He scared me already.
Good, that was go my further.
Those are the teeth that no one
glad
wants.
I didn't have lunch.
Why are you trying to take a picture?
Well, if anything, I press that thing and I can't get it.
Down here. Let's make you
big. That's my background. Yeah.
All right.
As long as we don't get the kitty filter, we're good.
We can sing a duo, but we can't sing very well.
That should be doing.
Looking in
maybe
the light.
We need to get rid of the.
Oh, wait a minute. This is, I think, the problem. That's in the way. Yeah. Now try this.
It may be your background.
You need to get rid of your background. All you have to do is go into your stop video, hit that click and go up.
Ground.
Okay.
And choose virtual background and hit none.
Let's try edit. None. Okay, now we don't have a background. So there you were seeing that. So it's working. You just have to figure out what you want to see.
Okay, this is the thing I want to see first. Okay, you see that little deal there?
Mm-hmm.
That is in any store you can find that, and it's called gum soft picks. And the green part that you see is the part you're using. And that's like a little toothbrush, and you can just put that between your teeth, all of the teeth all the way around. It just, once you get it down, It's a real easy process to do it. Comes with a bunch of them. This is 40 in a pack, and they're not very expensive because when they, when they get limp, they're not doing the job. So you probably can use one for 3 or 4 days, something like that. And what I do is I wash them off, and then I put them in a little baggie that I can seal. So you can use more, but they're not that expensive. I guess I'm cheap. You could just use a new one every day, but it's really important to do that. And as I said, that background picture is what happens. And you remember I showed you the thing that looked like a mountain, and that is the papilla between the teeth. Now the teeth are not like two blocks against one another, but they're curved. And it just, the way I'm holding this now, you'll notice over to the left, it's kind of curved. So what you have to do with the dental floss, you've got, in many cases, a very tight contact. You need to do wax dental floss because it makes it easier to get through. But then you want to pull it along the curve. Now I lost my curve. So you're not hitting the papilla. And you don't want to go too hard. You want to stop when you get to the bottom, because in either of those cases, you're, if you're hitting something hard, you're damaging the attachment to the tooth. And then you get to my background picture that I showed you with great gingival recession. And I think Phil asked the question. The other problem is that the massive infection can lead to problems with the valves of the heart and cause heart disease as well, which is pretty serious. And if it's serious enough, you get into valve replacements, which is a very dangerous surgery, particularly in older people, most things. And by the way, at the age of 83, I consider anybody under 60 to be young.
So. Dave, you have a couple of questions. First one is, can gingival recession be reversed?
Yes, there. Again, unfortunately, it's expensive, but there is a process where a specialty dentist called a periodontist can do that, and it's very time-consuming, and it requires a lot of cooperation, let's say, from the patient. But that is a possibility, but it's by no means an easy one.
Okay, thank you. And then Sherry, I see that you have your hand raised. Do you want to unmute yourself and ask a question to Dave?
Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Dr. Sullivan. I was just going to ask way back with your little pick thing, if that can be used when people have bridges.
Yes, particularly, a bridge customarily is, there's a missing tooth, and then the tooth on either side of that has a crown put on it, and then attached to the two crowns is a fake tooth. And so that's a bridge, and it's a little above the gum. And that's another place between the bottom of that middle false tooth, let's call it, and the gum. Great question, Sherry. That's a perfect place to get in there with the little green thing that I mentioned and make sure you clean that off. The other thing to do is once you've finished the various techniques, you need to really rinse your mouth and take some time at it. Again, this isn't something that is too easily done at work, but you have no excuse when you're home.
And where a lot of us are home more, so now we really have no excuse.
Exactly. So what you do is fill your mouth, you know, half full with water and so on. And you concentrate on one side first, and you get the water over there. And you can, I didn't quite mean fill the mouth, but a certain amount of water in it. If you don't drown, you'll know after the first time the amount to use. So you get it over to one side with the cheek, and then you push the cheek to pressure the food on that side. You do the same side on the other side. You do the same thing on the kind of the bottom between the lip and the gum. You can't really do it too well on the upper unless you're standing on your head, but when you're doing it to the sides, you can get it so it takes care of that too. And you'll notice when you spit out, you'll see a lot of particles of food, and that's what you want to get rid of, because the longer that sits there, as I'm repeating myself, but that you know, becomes a nasty germ mess and starts the cycle of periodontitis.
Well, it sounds like the good news is that we have to do the things that we know we should do and commit to them and have good habits.
Yeah, and the problem is with, you know, elderly people, they don't have the strength in their hands, et cetera. So that's kind of a problem as well. And at times I'm heading in that direction. So as I said, the picture is on there of waxed dental floss. And what I've done is, you've got to have pressure on both sides of it to use it. So what I do, I've kind of made this little thing that I put on my right index finger. And then on the, I'm sorry. Yes, it is right. And then on the left, I kind of wrap the floss around the dental floss, and there's, you can see as you look at it, there's a little, I don't call it kind of a door. You close that door, so that'll give you the pressure on that end, and then you can go down, realizing that the shape of the tooth is convex, so to speak, and just follow the shape of the tooth gently down. Don't hit too hard and come up. And you'll find, you'll see on the floss that you're getting material that's been sitting there. And as I say, the biggest thing is to do all that rinsing till you see no more particles of food. And then you get an A+ for doing a good job.
Good.
I think that's pretty much it, unless there's any further questions.
I was trying to send a chat question, but I lost the screen now. But I want to, Dr. Dave Sullivan, you know, a couple years ago, you recommended that periodontist, Dr. Adamich. I went to him for like 2 or 3 years. He was excellent, and so he retired now. Who do you recommend for a periodontist?
I'll have to get back on to you on that one, because I've been sheltering in place, and so right now I don't have a recommendation, but I'll call my way back, you may remember Dr. Shum. He's my dentist in Fountain Valley. And as an orthodontist over the years, you get to see the work of all the dentists that send you patients. Yeah. And he was just amazing, the best dentist I've ever encountered. And
They are hard to find. Dr. Adamage was wonderful. I have to, you know, I was traveling from Mission Viejo all the way to Huntington Beach, but it was worth it. He was wonderful.
Yeah, I'm sure his range is probably just Huntington Beach and Fountain Valley, but he knows. Yeah, no, he did, but I mean, Dr. Shum is still at it. He's a young fellow by comparison.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to, whoever's the best.
Yeah, well, I will find out from him and send it in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I lost the screen.
Well, we can see you, Margaret, and thank you for your question. And thank you so much, Dave, for your marvelous presentation. It's always good to have these reminders. So bravo.
Thanks to you. Thanks to you.
Yes.
Okay. You're welcome.
Meredith, right. I'm very concerned about, I'm going to get up in the morning time, take my blood pressure and do all of that. Then I'm going to brush my teeth. Oh, first off, I'm going to eat. But I might have to go to the store and get the proper food.
With the heart on it.
Yeah, you know, and then, oh, don't forget on the way there, you might as well exercise. And then by the time I get home, it'll be lunchtime. And then I have to look for the proper food again. I'm very concerned about my life.
I think by the time you get home, it'll probably be time to go to bed.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yes, healthy living's not easy, but it's worth it. Okay, so now we're going to move in our agenda to item number 7, which is chair items. We do have new business. Our committee, Health and Nutrition, is in need of a member, so one of you, to attend the SCAC Legislative Standing Committee via Zoom, the third Monday from 9:30 to 11:30. And we were requested to do this because we want to have an interweaving between health and nutrition and the legislation that we are considering in conjunction with the Board of Supervisors. So I wanted to ask who would be interested in filling this kind of liaison role to the Legislative Standing Committee.
Would you I'll repeat?
I'll be happy to do it.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you, Patty. Barbara, did you want me to repeat?
When the legislative meets.
It's on the third Monday of each month from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m.
Oh, got a conflict. I can't do it.
Well, thank you for considering it. And thank you, Patty. And then we have old business. Last time we talked about having a special logo for the Health and Nutrition Committee. We had a volunteer, I believe, was it Dave's wife, that might be able to do the graphics on that. So I wanted to see if that's something that we still think is necessary, and if so, if people had ideas about that.
I think it's a good idea. I'm not sure I have much to contribute, but something with food and something, you know, some kind of a caduceus or some medical thing, because it's health is medical and nutrition, and then probably something with healthy food.
I see people nodding. Does that sound good to the group, or do we have other ideas?
You know, can I offer a suggestion, Meredith? Maybe I would hold off on that till we bring that up, discussion up at the executive committee, because normally the different subcommittees, which are really the umbrella of the county and of senior services, don't come up with their own little logo. So I want to keep you guys on the straight and narrow. So let's double check on that first. I think you may get some pushback on it. Just I hate to go through all this work and then somebody say, nope, can't do it.
Well, Jean, I really appreciate that. So thank you for the feedback. The reason, just so you know, that it came up last meeting was that Frank had mentioned that if we wanted to promote these meetings more to have additional community attendance, he wasn't sure if we were able to use the county logo or not in our marketing materials.
You can use the county logo. That's we're the umbrella of that. But I think there's another logo they use, if I'm not mistaken. So let me research that for you, Meredith, or you can attend our meeting, our executive meeting, and cover that. Frank's got an idea here, I see.
I don't think I can come this time, Gene, but if you were able to...
I'll bring it back to you. Yeah, I can certainly do that for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, so now we are on number 8 on our agenda, announcements and roundtable discussions. So we have several things to discuss. The one that I noted in the minutes that you all received, or the agenda, is that during our March SCAC meeting, we are going to talk about 3 priorities to bring forward to the Board of Supervisors for concerns for older adults in Orange County. And I wanted to see from our health and nutrition point of view, the lens that we have, what ideas we have on 2 different things. And so I'll start with the first one, the digital divide. This is something that has come to the fore as older adults are saying that they're having trouble with the Othena system in particular, scheduling their vaccinations, and also accessing programs that can combat social isolation because of the digital divide. And I wanted to see what your experience is, what you're hearing, what you're experiencing that we could share back with our SCAC work group in March in terms of the digital divide.
Well, I'm on the call center as well, and I did reach out to Kaiser Permanente. They are, for those that do not have a computer or some way to go onto Athena, they are creating a temporary patient number for individuals who want to get the vaccine as they become available. That's one of them.
Thank you. That's good information.
Dave here. You know, it's just a fact of life that people of a certain era and certain age do not have, you know, the ability to be on computers. I'm lucky that my wife was just a year younger, mm-hmm. You know, that was her field. But otherwise I'd be shouting from a rooftop for these meetings or something like that. But, you know, it is a problem, and it would be nice if there was some kind of reasonably simplified program that seniors could access and learn more about computers, then they'd be encouraged to do it. At the Huntington Beach Senior Center, for a number of years, they've had programs where people come in and volunteers that are really good. Sometimes, by the way, teenagers, that's mm-hmm. been a source of volunteers too. Show them how to use it. It's pretty successful, but unfortunately during the COVID problem, that has been shut down.
Right, and there's really 2 issues, whether people know how to use the tech, but sometimes more fundamental than that, whether they have the tech and the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, right.
Gene?
Yeah, you guys are hitting on an issue that virtually every committee I sit on has that same concern. I know our tech committee is working on kind of eliminating that assumption, because the state and county love to send something out to seniors, and the only way you can reply is digitally. They're assuming everybody's got Wi-Fi, which they don't, right. And have Wi-Fi access, which they don't, and or have the equipment, which they don't, or the technology. So there's a host of issues with that we're going to have to grapple with, because this is not getting it. You know, just assuming that, well, everybody's got Wi-Fi or everybody's got access to a computer, and they don't, especially our seniors. So I'm glad you guys are talking about this, and just know that other committees are trying to wrap their arms around this very same issue. And they talk a lot about maybe getting mentors or, you know, having pairing them up with college students that can get extra credit if they go out and of course, with COVID right now, it's a little tough, but he maybe, you know, work out something along the line when we get beyond this nightmare.
Gene?
Yeah, Phil.
Has anybody reached out to the tech companies in Orange County? Because before you learn about the tech, you got to have the tech. So first they have to get the machines and then we have to train people to use them.
Right.
So I talked to the La Habra senior director today and he said St. Jude had a program. He wasn't sure if it's still going, where people came in at no charge, completed a course. They said it was about 6 weeks and they gave everybody a laptop computer to keep.
And wow, that's great info. But, the issue there would be making sure everybody's got a ride to get to that location.
Oh, yes, but here's the thing. That recommendation maybe should be put on the agenda and the Board of Supervisors could be an advocate to get the seniors, wherever they may be in Orange County, to help, just like right now they get free phones through the state of California. The tech, the elected officials could be advocates to help distribute and get tech. And then the task is to train everybody.
That's a great idea, Phil. And I'll tell you, the bigger nut to crack is get the Wi-Fi access. That's really expensive. And that's where you need to get maybe business sponsorship or cities are a little pushed on their budgets, but that would be money well spent.
It would be a public-private partnership.
There you go.
That's really the way to go. And, they should at least get a point of view from the cable companies that, you know, manage the Wi-Fi and put it on the table for them to discuss.
Good idea, Phil. Thank you for that input.
Gene, the other thing that I'm hearing from residents in affordable housing is that they have the free government phones that have the capability to have data, but don't. So they already have a device that could work if it was paired with the data.
Oh, when you say paired with the data, what are you referring to, a Wi-Fi system?
Yeah, Wi-Fi or a hotspot.
Yeah, exactly. That's the real key. In fact, we're pushing on that in our city when we build senior housing, to make sure there is a Wi-Fi location there, like the clubhouse or someplace.
Yes.
That's the hot ticket right there. Yep.
But right now, a lot of places, people aren't allowed at the clubhouse.
Well, this is such an interesting time right now. Whole discussion is it's real tough to have because everybody's hunkered down, especially seniors. And it's tough. It really is.
And it is an impediment to telehealth. Bonnie mentioned that during her presentation. And if you have to have your doctor's appointments with telehealth, but you don't have digital access, then getting care is very hard.
Exactly. And I'll tell you that telehealth is the way to go. That is so convenient, so easy for most questions you have. There's a whole lot of things you physically have to be seen, but I've used it. I think it's great.
Yes. Yeah. I guess the last thing that I've heard is that some of the health plans are providing tablets with Wi-Fi so that the telehealth is possible. So that's another.
That's good to hear. Really good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
One of your goals, by the way, to make sure that you have access, that everyone gets access to Wi-Fi for telehealth and that kind of thing. That'd be a good one coming out of your group.
Okay.
Another thing, Gene, I've heard about is in the current situation, people, seniors, as you call them, they get on there and the lines are, clogged and they hold and they hold and they hold and then they just give up.
So that's just not seniors. That's everybody. I got to tell you, there's not a call I make to any group. And the excuse they always come up with during these COVID times, the waiting lines may be longer than normal. I waited on a Disney cruise thing for about half an hour only because I had the time. And then I said, forget it. I said, this is ridiculous. I want them to, I want to give them my money and they're going to make me wait a half hour. I said, forget this.
And I can't stand that damn elevator music. My son's in IT as well. And I had him give me something that I can put on my ears so I can it kind of muffles it, and I don't have to listen until
you're right there. Yeah.
Okay, well, the other discussion item that I wanted to see if you had opinions on is the idea of the missing middle. This group is part of the Master Plan for Aging statewide, and it describes people that make a little bit too much money to qualify for Medi-Cal programs like Adult Day Health and other community-based programs, but do not have enough income to pay privately for in-home care and other programs. I wanted to see if this is something that you're hearing about in Orange County, and if this is something that would be a topic that we would want to kind of put forward as a gap for our older adults.
Well, that's such a great topic. Yeah, and I can tell you now that the same thing applies to housing. We have just either have high end or low end, but in the middle, zip. And that's a problem, at least in my community is. And I know I've sat on so many Zooms with other cities. I know it's an issue for them too. The middle income folks make too much to get anything and make too little to really take advantage of anything. You just get squeezed from both ends.
Yes.
Well, it depends upon what day I'm in the middle or on top or on the bottom. With the stock market, you don't know what's going on. And I'm just playing.
You're a brave man, Phil.
Hey, Meredith, just for a sec, can we go back to the social isolation? I'm wondering if in the meantime, before we get caught up with all the technical, that we couldn't develop some sort of phone, because everyone seems like they have a phone, that you could do a dial a person that day or create a group of people that could do that, or even the seniors calling each other, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder.
They do have that, Phil. It's the California Friendship Line.
Oh, good.
So that is available statewide, but maybe that's something that we need to publicize more in Orange County. And then also COVIA has a dial-in program that coincides with their Zoom classes. So if someone doesn't have Zoom, they're invited to dial in, and they have a full social calendar that's free of charge as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith, I know I'm a guest today, but I just wanted to put forward, because I work in the senior industry, and not only because of work, but I have a 96-year-old mom and an 87-year-old dad, so a very vested personal interest in this whole thing. There are so many organizations, and I'm so excited to say there are so many organizations that are doing things. The challenge, I think, is that, you know, you just mentioned a program that I didn't know anything about, and I work in the senior industry. There doesn't seem to be a great way to coalesce all of these different resources that are available. So I know, for example, AgeWell Senior Services and Meals on Wheels, they're doing calls to seniors. Patient or program access is doing calls to seniors. So there's a lot of different organizations out there trying to bridge both the social gap, dealing with, I know we were talking about the computer issues and computer learning and all of that. Yet there isn't a hub on which all these spokes could come out and say, hey, here are all of the options that are available to you if you live in these zip codes or even in the state or whatever the case happens to be. And I think that's something that's really missing. And I wish I could say I have a solution, because I was always taught, right, don't bring a problem, bring a solution. But
we do have a solution though, Nicolette. It's the Office on Aging where Frank works, because they have the call center. Back to you, Frank. Do you guys have all of these resources of people if we all call in, like the California Friendship Line?
I believe that might be one of the resources, but you know, everything's fragmented depending on who reached out to us and how we try to vet that. Because every year we have a volunteer or two volunteers that call all the resources on our database to see if it's current. And so some of them are missing phone numbers, or the phone numbers change, or the resources change. And so some of those things are on the website, or not on the website, excuse me. Well, yes, on the website, but you'd have to know how to navigate the website to collect and use the spread, not the spreadsheet, but
the data
search, the database. Yeah, the search. It's almost better just to, if you're not tech savvy, to just call in and see which operator has that information. And you say, okay, I'm looking for this specific thing, like the some sort of cell phone carriers that are free. And most of them, the California one has it. And then I think those are subcontracted to all the cell providers. So they have to have the California, they give them a free cell phone or a decreased price on those cell phones to get talk and text and things like that.
You know, Meredith, that's another topic that what Nicolette brought up, we had also looked at, because that's a real common sense thing, but what Frank said is spot on, that those groups, they only do it twice a year. You almost have to do that monthly. They come and go so quick, and no one's got the time to devote or commit other than volunteers. And with volunteers, it's real, at least what I've been told, it's hit or miss, and it's a little sketchy. You got to work at their schedule. So you would almost have to devote an inordinate amount of time to make that type of thing really be functional. And then you'd be going crazy, constantly trying to update it to make sure it's still current and viable. So great idea. But I like Frank's idea of just, you're better off just going to the search and boom, going that route.
But I think that we need to all, it seems like maybe one of the gaps based on what we're talking about is that not everyone knows about the information and referral number 800-510-2020.
Yeah, good point. Maybe market that more. That's another one of your goals. Let's market the resources we have available so and make that easily accessible. Try calling some of these yourself sometime and see what you go through. And then figure out, boy, if I was a senior, I wouldn't be able to get through this process. Well, did you see what you had to do through Othena to get an appointment for your vaccines? Oh, my gosh.
Well, everyone
I know how that works. And, you know, I thought, wow, if that was real bad.
Well, the 800 number is a lot more user-friendly because I have used it myself when I'm looking for resources. But I would encourage everyone, if you want to do a little bit of homework before our next time together, to call. Maybe you'll talk to Frank. Maybe it'll be someone else. But it's a good way to know that that number
it
does
really
work.
Is.
Yeah,
I think that's great. That should be the homework.
Yes.
Everyone go out and just call and say, yeah, can you tell me about affordable housing or whatever the conversation is? How can I get a ride from here to there to my doctor? How does that
make
work?
It a good one? Make it a stumper.
Yeah, Gene, we could all call at the same time and tie up the lines.
Phil, come on now, don't be gaming the system. This is hard enough as it is now. That's why you get those long waits with the elevator music.
Right.
Well, what's that 800 number? I don't even know it.
510-2020.
It's 800, be patient. Yeah.
And it works anywhere in California. So if you're calling from
what is it, Meredith?
800.
What is the number again, Meredith?
800-510-2020.
510-2020. Okay.
I would change that to 2021.
Oh, they'd have to form a whole committee, sink a lot of money in it just to do that.
Not happening.
Frank would like that.
Okay, do we have any other announcements that anyone would like to share? Frank?
Yeah, so I was finishing up a training. So normally I would report our numbers of community education classes. So we had our first chronic disease self-management class. So it bled from January to February. So February's numbers are around 7 participants for the chronic disease self-management that were virtual. With that said, yesterday, myself and my co-facilitator, master trainer, were just trained on training other individuals who are interested in delivering the chronic disease self-management classes virtually. So we're going to be opening up that to our current volunteers if they are still interested in helping us facilitate the classes in the community. That's going to be one of those trainings that we're going to ramp up. And then today I finished my master training for the matter of balance virtually. So that means now I can train my current coaches to deliver the class, or to train them first to be able to deliver the class virtually. So these are class trainings that I will be ramping up within the next few weeks or month or so, so that I will get all my volunteers back into the loop. The only challenging part is that we are the licensed individual for Zoom. So if our volunteers do not have access to Zoom and have a secured Zoom platform, then there's only a few volunteers that I can bring in. And then that means I will have to be their proctor, much like Christina's doing for SCAC. I'll be doing that for all my evidence-based classes. I'll be the guy in the background changing the screens and letting people in or denying them, depending on if they're a true individual that has been vetted. So it's coming out. Keep an eye out.
Thank you. I have an announcement. So taking my chair hat off, putting my Life Steps hat on. Life Steps is sponsoring legislation for RN coaching and affordable housing. This bill is going to have a number by Friday, and Assemblyman Nazarian from Los Angeles County is going to be the author. The bill calls for five counties to have a pilot program for 5 years with RN coaching at three affordable communities per county. So a lot of numbers, but one of the counties will be Orange County. So I'm really excited about this being an opportunity for three of our Orange County affordable housing complexes to have an RN coach to further prove the model. And if you'd like more information about it, I'm happy to share, and we would love to get sponsorships from organizations in Orange County, letters of sponsorship.
Can you say RN as in registered nurses?
Yes.
Okay.
So the registered nurse helps the residents on site navigate their healthcare and also return back from transitions of care from the hospital and the nursing home.
Wow. Wow.
It's already worked well. We did a pilot with Life Steps in Sacramento for 4 years, and it had great outcomes and saved about $1 million a year. So we would love to see it be able to be paid for by the state government, since it saves the state money. Any other announcements? Okay, so now we are on to agenda item number 9, which is public matters. Do we have any, at this time, do we have any members of the public that want to address the group? No, okay, nope. We don't. Before we adjourn, I wanted to just let everyone know that we do have our speakers confirmed for our meeting next month. So next month we are getting together on St. Patrick's Day. So wear something green if you can for the Zoom. And we have our three main nutrition providers coming to speak with us. So that is AgeWell, the City of Irvine, and Meals on Wheels Orange County. So if you want to be thinking about questions that you have for them ahead of time, that would be great. I know they're really excited to come and speak with us, and they're preparing with each other so that there's some coordination in their presentation. And we still have a few slots that we need presenters for. So if you have a presentation that you wanted to do, or that you have someone else that wanted to do, I sent an email, I believe, a week and a half ago. You can see which months we still have available.
Can you remind me which month I'm in for the food pantries? I'm sorry.
We haven't confirmed yet. So if you want to look at that, or I can resend it to you so you can have it at the top of your email box, you we mind? Would love yeah. to have you speak.
That'd be great. I have Pathways of Hope scheduled right now, my food pantry, and then I'm looking for one in the central spa. I should have that nailed down in the next couple of days. I have both food banks helping me determine which would be a good food pantry to present.
Excellent. Well, I was really hoping that that presentation would be available, so I'm excited about that. So I'll send you the updated schedule.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for your time. I learned a lot.
Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, yeah,
good job, Meredith. Nicely done.
Thank you so much. And please, thank you. And please give the information to all of your folks at the senior centers and your areas of influence so that more people can get this information and have good habits. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.